Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. Well, we hope that you're having a wonderful feast season. We're approaching the Feast of Tabernacles, and we hope that you have a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles this year as we look forward to the fact of, number one, that we are going to live with him. We will dwell with him for eternity. And number two, we also get to celebrate the fact that he even dwells amongst us right now with his Holy Spirit. He communes with each and every single believer as of right now. And we also get to look back to the fact that Yeshua came in the flesh, dwelt among us, and walked among us, and that we serve a high priest who faced every temptation that we face and is fully able to understand what we're going through. He can sympathize with us, and he is able to help us along this journey because we have been called to be transformed into his image, and he understands and knows what it is like to go through that process, to walk as he walked on this earth. So let's go ahead and let's read a passage here in Revelation chapter 19. And this is the passage regarding the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I want to talk about and just kind of think about the fact that we are looking forward to the day when he will come back on his second coming. And we will be called unto him, and we will dwell with him. We will live with him for eternity. That is great joy. That is great news. And that is something that we can look forward to while living in this present time and moment. So let's look at Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like a roar of many waters, and like the sound of a mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Yeshua. Worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. So let's go back here on verse 6. So we start this passage off reading of this great outcry of a great multitude who is giving praise to our God. Number one, the thing that we can look forward to living with him in eternity, is that we are going to be praising the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that is what we're going to be doing. We will be bringing him praise. That is what we're going to be doing. So we might as well learn now how to give him praise, because that's what we're going to be doing for eternity. But we see the great rejoicing that is happening. Because why? What is happening? Why are they saying, let us rejoice? Because the marriage supper of the Lamb has come. This is going to be an awesome, joyful experience when we get to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is where the bride, which represents those who believe in Yeshua, and the work of his blood, those who have been cleansed by his blood, and those who are walking in covenant with him, who are found to be a faithful servant unto him, who have made themselves ready. That's what it means by the bride has made herself ready, right? The clothes, the fine linen that is bright and pure, they're white, they're unstained. They are not stained from this world. That is talking of the righteous deeds of the saints. What are the righteous deeds? It is those acts of obedience to his law, to his Torah. So the bride makes herself ready by walking in obedience to his word. And of course, we cannot do that unless we have first been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. So the bride who has made herself ready is now being called unto Yeshua, who is the bride's groom. He's the bridegroom. He's there, and he is waiting for the day where he will be able to call his bride unto himself. And when he does, we're going to celebrate that marriage with him. And that is something to rejoice over. And all heaven, all his angels are going to rejoice over this. Yeshua is going to rejoice over this. We are going to rejoice over this day. So let's rejoice over that during this season and during Sukkot. Know that what we're going through in life, and as we're living through the temptations that we're fighting and overcoming every single day, we're looking forward to the fact that we are getting ourselves ready as a bride so that we can experience the joy that there's going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is going to be a festive event. It's going to be joyful. And blessed or happy are those who are invited. Who are those who are invited? Again, it's the ones who have made themselves ready, the ones who have been cleansed by the blood. You cannot enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem, into heaven, without being washed in the blood of Yeshua. And then we need to be found walking in righteous deeds, walking in obedience. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25. This is a parable spoken of by Yeshua. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. So Yeshua compares his returning to this of this bridegroom. And we as the bride can be found as either a wise virgin or as a foolish virgin when he returns. The wise were those who were prepared for his return. They had the things that they needed to be ready. They stayed alert. They stayed sober, awake, doing what they needed to do to be ready for when he returned, when he came. That is what we need to be doing as his bride today. We need to make sure we're doing what we need to do in order to be ready for his return. How do we find ourselves ready for his return? How do we do that? Number one, we need to stay alert, awake. We do not know the day or the hour in which he will return. So we need to be ready at all times for his return. The foolish one does not. The foolish one thinks, I have time. The foolish one thinks he's not coming. I can do this now, and then I can fix it and get ready later. And when he does return, they will not find themselves ready. So we find ourselves ready by being one who is walking in the righteous deeds of the saints, by being one who is walking in covenant with him, walking in obedience to his word. We stay awake by staying on guard against the attacks of the evil one, against temptation that would try to lure us away. The desire to become lazy, as the foolish ones did, would be compared as to those who grow weary in doing that which is good and say, well, he's not coming back now. And so they begin to reject God's word, and instead of seeking to walk in conformity with Yeshua and walking in his righteousness and walking in obedience to the word, they begin to give in to the world. They begin to give in to their flesh, and they begin to be conformed into the world instead of being transformed into the image of Yeshua. That is how we find ourselves unready. By when he returns, we're not found walking in the righteous acts of the saints, walking in obedience. But we find ourselves walking in disobedience, where we are no longer set apart from the world, but we are the world. And so to that one will not be ready for his return. That one will get left out. They will not be invited into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it's interesting because it sees here that after they come back and they've missed the coming of the bridegroom, they see their regret and they cry out, open to us, to those who miss his return, there will not be a second chance. So we need to be ready the first time he comes. His response was, I do not know you. Very similar to what Yeshua says previously when he told them, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, for I do not know you. He does not know or have communion with those who walk in lawlessness, who walk as if there is not a law, who walk in disobedience to his law. If you reject his law and you're walking in disobedience to his law, outright rebellion to his law, you are running the danger of him looking at you and saying, I do not know you. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So here, as we read through this chapter, we're beginning to see what the new Jerusalem is going to look like. To those who are found ready, what we have ahead of us. And we see here that there's a river of life that is flowing from the throne of God. We see there are trees that are lining this river, and it's yielding its fruit each month for those to eat. The leaves bring healing to the nation. So we're walking in healing. We're walking in health. There's water that provides eternal life. And there is food for us to partake of and enjoy. And no longer will there be anything accursed. So the curse is gone. The curse is done away with. And now we are walking in nothing but the blessings of God. That right there is something to get excited over, to be joyful over, to look forward to. The fact that the curse is gone, and now we get to enjoy nothing but the benefits or the blessings of God. And what are we going to do? We will worship Him, and we will see His face. His name will be on our foreheads. We will belong to Him. We are His, and the evil one will no longer have any right unto us. Hallelujah. There will be no night, there will be no light, for God will light up the new Jerusalem for us. And we will reign with Him forever and ever. Let's look at verse 6. And He said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent His angel to show His servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." So blessed are those who keep His words. Verse 8. "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done." So what is being spoken of here in Revelations? That when he comes, each person will have to give an account and will be judged upon what they have done. If the evil one is still doing evil, he will serve judgment for the evil which he has done. Same for the one who is filthy. But to the one who is righteous and to the one who is holy, to them they will be judged accordingly to their righteousness and their holiness. So we need to remember and to live our lives in a way to know that one day we will stand judgment for what we have done. We will have to take an account for how we have lived our lives. If we continue to walk in that which is evil and that which is filthy, that which is unclean, or if we continue to walk in disobedience, contrary to His law, then we will be judged accordingly to our evil. But to those who choose to walk in His righteousness, who repent of their evil ways and repent of their disobedience, and they choose to walk set apart from this world, and they choose to walk in faithfulness and obedience to His law, to that person, they will be blessed. And they will be judged according to their obedience. Now, of course, we have got to be washed in the blood of Yeshua. Let's look at verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gate. So blessed are those who have washed their robes. This is speaking of blessed are those who have forsaken their evil ways, who have chosen no longer to walk in disobedience, but are now walking in obedience. Our robes, our garments speak of the righteous acts of the saints. So when your robes have been washed, of course, first you have been cleansed by the blood of Yeshua, and now you are walking in his righteousness. You're walking in obedience to his word. To those who are walking in obedience to his word are those who have washed their robes. You cannot enter into the gates of heaven, number one, without the blood of Yeshua. So you can have any kind of form of religion that you want. But if you have not accepted the blood of Yeshua and you do not have faith in the blood of Yeshua, then you will not enter into the gates. And this even goes to those who would try to obtain entering into the gates by obeying the Torah without the blood of Yeshua. You will not enter into the gates. Okay. So our robes are washed by his blood and also by our righteous acts of obedience unto him. Okay. Those are the ones who enter into the gates. Verse 15. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So those who do not enter into the gates are those who are walking in sexual immorality, but he also says everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So this is talking about, this brings in the whole Torah. Falsehood is anything that is in contrary to God's law. God's law is truth. That which in contradiction, that which is fighting against the Torah, is falsehood. So to practice falsehood would be to practice disobedience. So to the one who walks in disobedience, they are outside of the gates with the dogs and the sorcerers. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. So this is saying the Spirit and the bride are crying out, come. So we as the bride are living in this world and we're crying out, come. And the Spirit is crying out, come. We're crying out to our bridegroom in heaven, come. We're longing. We're crying out for his second return. We're crying out to be able to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're crying, come. Let's cry out, come, this Feast of Sukkot. And the one who hears us crying out, come, may they cry out, come as well. And let us learn to turn to him when we're thirsty. When we desire something, let's go to him. Because he is everlasting water. He is living water. His water will satisfy. If we turn and thirst after the things of this world, it will never satisfy. It will never fill us up. So let's learn to put our desire upon him. And we can freely come before him. We can freely come and drink from him without price. Let's thirst after our bridegroom and not the things of this world. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Yeshua. The grace of the Lord Yeshua be with all. Amen. Come, Lord Yeshua. We desire and we long to be in your presence, to enter into the holy city. We look forward to the day that we can partake in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's look forward to what lays before us, the great joy and blessing that is before us. Let us not lose heart. Let us not grow weary in fighting this present war in this present earth today. Let's stay strong and keep re-energized and keep focused on what lies ahead of us, so that when he does come, we are found awake. We are found ready. We are washed in the blood of Yeshua. And we are found walking in obedience to his word. We are found to be a faithful servant of the Almighty. Well, again, I hope that you have a wonderful Sukkot season, a wonderful Feast of Tabernacle season this year. We will be back again next week with another teaching. We will bring another teaching on Sukkot as well. So come back and join us, and shalom, y'all.